What is driving this spreading mental illness pandemic in America? Media headlines report daily on the insane criminal behavior spreading across America, penetrating all social spectrums. See FBI and other recent crime reports here. I would ask why, and what is going on here? I asked ChatGPT and Google Search this question, and they similarly reported. The primary drivers of the mental health crisis and crime in America heading into 2026 are a combination of long-standing socioeconomic stressors and evolving modern pressures. While crime rates actually showed a significant decline in 2025, with homicides down roughly 21% from the previous year, experts remain concerned about underlying factors like economic instability and inadequate access to mental health care. Key drivers of the mental health crisis. The United States is currently experiencing a mental health crisis affecting all ages, but particularly youth. Middle-economic distress, personal finances are the top source of anxiety for Americans in 2026, with 59% reporting significant stress over their financial situation. Middle-technological pressures, rapid AI integration is causing job-related anxiety for 47% of adults, while the always-on nature of digital communication contributes to chronic burnout. Middle-systemic gaps in care. Despite record demand, over 122 million Americans live in areas with severe shortages of mental health providers. High costs and insurance barriers prevent nearly half of those with mental illness from receiving treatment. Middle-social isolation. The erosion of in-person social connections, often replaced by algorithm-driven digital interactions, has increased feelings of loneliness and dread, especially among younger generations. Factors influencing crime rates. Although overall violent crime decreased in 2025, several structural issues remain highly correlated with criminal activity and community safety. Middle-socioeconomic disadvantage, poverty, unemployment, and housing instability remain the strongest predictors of crime. Communities with high rates of housing instability also report the highest mental health crisis rates, 37.9%. Middle-the handcuffs instead of help cycle, jails have become de facto mental health facilities. Approximately 2 in 5 incarcerated individuals have a history of mental illness, often arrested for non-violent offenses related to untreated symptoms. Middle-substance abuse. The ongoing opioid epidemic continues to fuel both public health and public safety challenges, though many states increased investments in 2025 to combat drug trafficking and expand recovery services. Middle-youth vulnerability. Disruption in education and limited entry-level career pathways due to automation have increased the risk of youth involvement in crime. NPR, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, psychiatry.org, the Bureau of Health Workforce, CSG Justice Center, and the Behavioral Health News all report on and blame the symptoms of and the sad to disastrous results of mental illness on people and society, but completely fail, or refuse, to address the cause, the absence of traditional standards of morality and ethics. And by traditional standards, I am referring to the long-held and thoroughly tested Christian biblical standards. I am speaking of a traditional Christian ethos which refers to a set of moral values, habits, and ways of living that develop from the teachings of Jesus Christ and the long history of the Christianity. While it varies across denominations, there are some widely shared core elements. From ChatGPT. 1. Love as the central command. At the heart is the idea of love. Love of God. Love of neighbor. This comes from teachings like love your neighbor as yourself, which shape how believers are expected to treat others, with compassion, forgiveness, and goodwill. 2. Moral responsibility and sin. Traditional Christianity teaches that humans are morally accountable for their actions. Sin, wrongdoing, separates people from God. Ethical life involves recognizing faults, seeking forgiveness, and striving to live rightly. 3. Humility and self-denial. Humility is a major virtue. Avoid pride and arrogance. Put others before yourself. Practice self-control and restraint. This often includes the idea of sacrificing short-term desires for higher moral or spiritual goals. 4. Charity and service. Helping others, especially the poor and vulnerable, is essential. Giving, charity, almsgiving. Acts of service. Hospitality. This reflects the belief that serving others is a way of serving God. 5. Sanctity of life and human dignity. Human life is seen as sacred because it is created by God. emphasis on the inherent worth of every person. Moral concern for issues involving life, suffering, and justice. 6. Family, sexual ethics, and order. Traditionally, marriage is viewed as a lifelong union. Sexual activity is expected within marriage. Family is a central unit of moral and social life. 7. Faith, obedience, and authority. Believers are encouraged to have faith in God, follow divine commandments, respect religious teachings and traditions, such as those found in the Bible. 8. Redemption and grace. A key idea is that people are not expected to be perfect. Forgiveness is always possible. Salvation comes through God's grace, not just moral effort. 9. Eternal perspective. Life is viewed in light of eternity, earthly life is temporary. Actions have spiritual consequences. Hope in eternal life shapes moral priorities. Big picture, traditional Christian ethos emphasizes love balanced with moral discipline. Personal responsibility alongside forgiveness. Individual conduct tied to a larger spiritual purpose. From Google search The phrase traditional Christian ethos generally refers to a set of core values and a way of being rooted in the teachings of Jesus and historical church doctrine. It's less about a specific political stance and more about a foundational moral framework. Key pillars of the Christian ethos. Middle. Sacrificial love, agape, the central idea is putting others before oneself. This isn't just liking people, but a commitment to their well-being, even at a personal cost. Middle. Human dignity, imago Dei, the belief that every person is created in the image of God. This creates an ethical baseline that every life, regardless of status, age, or ability, has inherent, infinite value. Middle. The golden rule, a proactive commitment to treating others as you would want to be treated, which traditionally translates into charity, hospitality, and service to the marginalized. Middle. Humility and repentance, a recognition of human imperfection, sin, and the need for grace. This often manifests as a spirit of meekness, not weakness, but power under control. Middle. Stewardship, the view that talents, time, and the earth itself are not owned but are gifts on loan from God, to be used responsibly for the common good. The internal moral compass. In a traditional sense, this ethos emphasizes virtue over autonomy. While modern culture often prioritizes living your truth, the Christian ethos prioritizes aligning your life with a higher, objective truth through discipline and faith. Would you like to explore how these values contrast with modern secular ethics, or perhaps how they apply to specific social issues? In a June 2006 speech at the Call to Renewal conference, then-President Barack Obama said, "Whatever we once were, we are no longer just a Christian nation, we are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers." He did not declare that Christianity was dead in America, but that America would no longer be known solely as a Christian nation, as she had long been known. It was at that defining moment that Barack Obama gleefully announced that the syncretizing, reconciliation or fusion of differing systems of belief, as in philosophy or religion, especially when success is partial or the result is heterogeneous, of America was now complete. And the American psyche was shattered. As described in Isaiah 5:20, good became evil and evil became what is good. Read what the Bible says is the outcome of this defiance of God. Sup Isaiah 5:20, /sup. Woe, judgment is coming, to those who call evil good, and good evil. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Sup verse 21. /sup. Woe, judgment is coming, to those who are wise in their own eyes, and clever and shrewd in their own sight. Sup verse 22. /sup. Woe, judgment is coming, to those who are heroes at drinking wine, and men of strength in mixing intoxicating drinks. Sup verse 23. /sup. Who justify the wicked and acquit the guilty for a bribe, and take away the rights of those who are in the right. Sup verse 24. /sup. Therefore, as the tongue of fire consumes the stubble, from straw, and the dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom blow away like fine dust. because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised and discarded the word of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 25. Therefore the anger of the Lord has burned against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and has struck them down. And the mountains trembled, and their dead bodies lay like rubbish in the middle of the streets. In spite of all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out, in judgment. Verse 26. He will lift up a flag to call the distant nations, to bring his judgment on Judah, and will whistle for them from the ends of the earth. And indeed, they will come with great speed swiftly. Verse 27. No one among them is weary or stumbles. No one slumbers or sleeps. Nor is the belt at their waist undone, as if unprepared for action. Nor is the strap of their sandal broken. Verse 28. Their arrows are sharp and all their bows are strung and bent. Their horses' hoofs seem like flint and their chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Verse 29. Their roaring is like a lioness, they roar like young lions. They growl and seize their prey, and carry it off, and there is no one to save it. Verse 30. And in that day they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, in fact, there is darkness and distress. Even the light will be darkened by its clouds. And finally, here is a prime example of allowing false gods taint and influence our belief in and obedience of the one true living God. In the Bible, King Nebuchadnezzar and King Saul are the most prominent examples of leaders who experienced significant mental instability or madness following their drift from God. 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, the king who became a beast. Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon is the clearest example of a powerful leader being struck with a specific form of insanity as a direct consequence of pride and turning away from God's authority. The drift, despite witnessing God's power through Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's pride grew until he boasted, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The insanity, immediately, a voice from heaven declared his authority was taken. He was driven from human society and lived like a wild animal for 7 years, often referred to as seven times. The condition, biblical descriptions say he ate grass like an ox, his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails became like bird's claws. Modern scholars sometimes link this to boanthropy, a rare psychological disorder where a person believes they are a bovine. Restoration, his sanity was restored only when he humbled himself and acknowledged that the Most High rules over all earthly kingdoms. 2. King Saul, the tormented first king of Israel. Saul, the first king of Israel, suffered from a gradual mental decline characterized by paranoia and deep depression after he repeatedly disobeyed God's commands. The drift, Saul drifted from God through several acts of direct disobedience, including offering an unauthorized sacrifice and failing to follow divine instructions during battle. The insanity, the Bible states that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and he was subsequently tormented by an evil spirit. The symptoms, Saul experienced extreme paranoia, convinced that David was a threat to his throne, which led to violent outbursts, including multiple attempts to kill David with a javelin. Modern psychiatric analyses often suggest his behavior fits the profile of bipolar I disorder or severe clinical depression with psychotic features. The outcome, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, Saul never fully repented or regained his mental and spiritual peace, ultimately leading to his tragic death in battle. Modern psychiatric analyses often interpret these biblical accounts as early descriptions of severe mental health conditions, using the medical file of Scripture to apply contemporary diagnostic criteria. 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, boanthropy and clinical lycanthropy. The transformation of Nebuchadnezzar into an animal-like state is frequently cited as a case of boanthropy, a rare form of monomania or clinical zoanthropy where the sufferer believes they are a bovine, cow or ox. Clinical lycanthropy, modern psychiatrists often classify boanthropy under the broader umbrella of clinical lycanthropy, a rare subtype of schizophrenia or a psychotic manifestation of a mood disorder where an individual believes they are transforming into an animal. Alternative medical theories, some researchers suggest the symptoms could also align with porphyria, a group of metabolic disorders that can cause acute neurological symptoms, including hallucinations, anxiety, and paranoia. Others have proposed paralytic dementia caused by late-stage syphilis, which can lead to severe behavioral changes. 2. King Saul, bipolar and combat trauma. Saul's erratic behavior, shifting between deep affection for David and murderous rages, is often viewed through the lens of mood and personality disorders. Bipolar disorder. Many psychiatric studies conclude that bipolar disorder is the most likely diagnosis. Saul exhibited clear cycles, manic-like hyperactive and aggressive interpersonal reactions followed by periods of morbid melancholy and withdrawal. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Recent interpretations emphasize the combat trauma Saul would have experienced as a lifelong warrior king. His paranoia and violent outbursts are analyzed as symptoms of chronic anxiety or PTSD, exacerbated by the extreme moral stress of ancient warfare. Neurological theories. Some scholars speculate that Saul may have suffered from epileptic-like fits or even a brain tumor. The description of him falling down and lying naked for a day and night, 1 Samuel 19:24, is sometimes interpreted as a postictal state, the recovery period following a major seizure. 3. The theological versus medical lens. Modern scholarship also notes a two-way street in how these stories are interpreted. Ancient context. In the ancient Near East, behaviors like Saul's were sometimes diagnosed as ghost-induced illnesses or evil winds, often treated with musical therapy. Sociocultural factors. Some argue that medicalizing these accounts removes the cultural and ethical nuances of the original text. For example, Saul's paranoia toward David could be viewed as a rational response to a genuine political threat, a successor already anointed to take his throne, rather than a purely clinical delusion. There is truly only way back from this abyss, and that is by way of the one true and living God. Turn to, or turn back to, Jesus and obediently put yourself under his care. Follow him, obey him, serve him and live. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. Your brother and friend in Christ Jesus, Mike Young.